souls, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy, your trusted source for wisdom on the universal principles and the transformative magic integrating manifestation with the people that you support. I'm your host, Judy, and I'm thrilled to embark on this enlightening journey with you. In every episode, we'll unravel the timeless secrets of the universe, explore the art of conscious creation, and dive deep into manifestation therapy's incredible potential. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner or just starting your quest for a more abundant and fulfilling life for yourself and your clients, this podcast will support your growth, inspiration, and empowerment. So let's ignite the power within, align our thoughts with the energy we desire, and be our best potential. Welcome to Manifestation Therapy's podcast. Hello, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Judy. Today's topic is all about language. I know the last podcast I did was about the word need. This one is going to be much more generalized, just about the importance of everything we say and how we say it. It may be good to discuss it in a more general way. As a trauma therapist and manifestation coach, the importance of language has always been an aspect of supporting others and expanding my own healing journey. The way that I have talked has changed so much over the years. The power of language in manifestation, in shifting our mindsets, and in building emotional and somatic awareness is so present in our daily lives and in our possibility. So let's take a deeper look at the meaning of language in supporting others and our daily lives. Language is not just a tool for communication, but a powerful agent that shapes our thoughts, emotions, and our very perception of reality. Today, we're going to explore how the words we choose can influence our mental and emotional landscapes, particularly those and how it applies to therapy and personal growth. One of the cornerstone ideas behind the power of language is the theory of linguistic relativity. This theory suggests that the structure of a language affects its speaker's worldview or cognition. So essentially, it's that the language we speak influences how we think and how we perceive the world around us. What we say, even if we are not instantly aware of it, can have a deeper cognitive recognition and interaction with what we are experiencing externally. So a good example of this is how Inuit languages have multiple words for the concept of snow. Language can shape and reflect the perceptions and interactions of its speakers with their world around them. When a language has multiple words for a single concept, it often indicates that this concept is important to the culture or the daily life of its speakers. In the case of the Inuit, the variety of terms for snow implies a rich knowledge and an essential engagement with it, likely due to the pivotal role snow plays in the geographic and cultural context. This observation is related to the linguistic relativity theory, which suggests that the structure and vocabulary of a language influences the cognitive patterns of its speakers. So, having multiple words for snow enables the Inuit to perceive and categorize their snowy environment with greater precision, which could affect how they navigate and survive in it. This specificity in language allows for more detailed communication and deeper understanding about the conditions and transformations of snow, which are critical to their daily survival and cultural practices. Now, that's just one example of the cultural significance in understanding language importance that can vary. I'm not a big fan of snow, so I'm not trying to push on that aspect. Recent studies in cognitive psychology have furthered understanding of how language shapes our thought. Researchers have actually found that even subtle changes in sentence structure can affect our judgments and decisions, often in significant ways, even when we are unaware of this. So this is so important to understand and acknowledge because it shapes how we speak to our clients and how we reflect back to them, as well as just our daily lives. So for example, let's say you get home and a vase is broken. It's your favorite one. So we can describe an action in a passive voice when we're talking to someone. The vase was broken by the boy, as opposed to an active voice, like the boy broke the vase. This can lead listeners to focus more on the action itself rather than the agent. So that influences the assignment of blame and responsibility. It can influence how the listener thinks of the experience of the broken face. In therapy, I use it often with individuals when they are describing their emotions. So rather than saying, "I am angry," we encourage the statement of emotion as a feeling without taking it on as part of our identity. So I support others in saying, "I feel angry," which would resonate at a better frequency of energy. The name it to tame it means we name our emotion as separate from who we are. And the emotion, then being allowed into our realm of awareness, can be processed and released, free of shame or additional shame. Think of this in terms of I am statements itself. If you are something, then you are taking it on as part of you. If you are feeling, then you have the ability to feel something. Isn't that a huge difference? From being something to doing something. Language also plays a crucial role in emotional regulation in other ways. The words we use to describe our emotions can significantly affect our experiencing and processing of these emotions, as well as releasing it and changing it. There's a lot more possibility of change when we accept that something is just part of what we do, not a part of who we are. So, for example, studies have shown that individuals who use more specific terms to describe their feelings, such as irritated instead of angry, can manage our emotions better. So this clarity helps in identifying the emotion and providing a better strategies to process and then cope with it. Sometimes having an emotional ladder or a wheel present for clients to pick where they are at can be really helpful. They can have a visual perception of what they are feeling. In the context of therapy, especially when dealing with trauma, the concept of a healing language versus harmful language becomes crucial. Healing language includes words and phrases that promote empowerment, understanding, and growth. Conversely, harmful language often involves absolutes and negatives that can reinforce feelings of despair or self-blame. Working with many people diagnosed or having traits of borderline personality disorder really supports my understanding of the importance of language and trauma. I've worked with people with BPD for about a decade now. People that struggled with attachment and these traits consistently use language in absolutes and negatives that would continue their perception of having something wrong with who they are. It's often called splitting in mental health or black and white thinking. But this language is part of the law of polarity. There is not a medium in the choice of words and reflection that occurs. It's either positive or negative, two polar opposites. Think about the language you use daily. How do your words frame your experiences? Do they limit or expand your understanding of yourself and others? Try to become aware of this. And it'll be the first step towards making intentional shifts that enhance your mental and emotional well-being. So let's delve into the role in manifestation. Manifestation, often discussed in the context of the law of attraction, is about bringing into reality the things we desire. The choice of language can significantly influence our ability to manifest our goals and desires. In manifestation therapy, the choice of language is not just a simplified choice based on our culture and nurture environments, but it is an important aspect to develop mindset shift and awareness in. Manifestation therapy involves setting goals and intentions clearly and positively, thereby orienting the subconscious mind towards achieving these goals. The language we use plays a critical role in this process. By articulating our desires clearly and affirmatively, we engage parts of our brain involved in motivation and goal setting, essentially programming ourselves to recognize and seize the opportunities that align with our aspirations. When it comes to manifestation, the clarity and precision of our language is paramount. For instance, instead of saying, "I want to be happy someday," A more manifestation-friendly language would be, I am supporting happiness in my daily activities. This shift not only states a clear intention, but it also puts it into the present tense, which psychologically affirms that the process is already underway and possible. So we want to be aware and shift from passive to active. Meaning, although we can begin with a statement that feels true, like, I hope to receive new opportunities, the goal is to eventually have this statement shift into, I am open to new opportunities and ready to embrace them. Another example is the importance of shifting from future to present tense. Instead of, I will find peace, use, I am finding peace in my daily life. It is so important that we recognize we are currently on the journey and it's not something out of reach or in the distant future. I may add learning or hope to activate that belief with my clients, but eventually it is present tense and happening. Of course, we want to support others in shifting language from negative to positive. This is something I consistently support my clients in doing. Many will put what they want into terms of lack or what they want to avoid instead of, I don't want to be stressed. Have them say, I choose to embrace calmness. Eventually, they are able to do it without my support and guidance. So let's look at some real life examples where shifts in language have led to tangible results. One case involved a client who consistently used language like, I never have enough money. When coached to shift their language to, I am learning to manage and grow my finances effectively, they reported not only feeling more empowered, but also making more financially prudent decisions and noticing new opportunities for income. Today, they say things more in line with where they are and where they have wanted to reach. Like, I am experiencing a positive relationship with my money. The words we choose to express our desires and intentions are not just placeholders. They are powerful tools that can shape our reality. As we become more mindful of our language, we may find ourselves not just dreaming about what we want, but actively bringing those dreams into existence and our experience. The words we choose not only reflect our current state of mind, but also have the power to shape our future mental states. Adopting a positive linguistic approach can transform our outlook and overall mental health, especially within the context of therapy and trauma recovery. Cognitive restructuring is a therapeutic technique used to challenge and change unhelpful thoughts that contribute to distressing emotions and behaviors. It's closely tied to the language we use to describe our experiences. By consciously adopting more positive languages, we can reframe our perspective and foster resilience. Affirmations or positive statements about ourselves and our abilities are such powerful tools in this restructuring process. Regular use of affirmations can reinforce positive beliefs, counteract the often deep-seated negative narratives that can linger after traumatic experiences, and they make us feel good. I have loved affirmations since first discovering them with Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life book, which is an excellent read for anyone who wants to understand the connection of our physical health to the mental inflictions that we have. Manifestation therapy recognizes how certain words can unconsciously undermine our mental health and resiliency. Using terms like never or impossible or can't may reinforce feelings of helplessness or defeat. These absolutes close off possibilities and can keep us stuck in the negative loop. Words like disaster or horrible can amplify stress and anxiety, especially when used to describe everyday setbacks or challenges. Rather than feeling change is possible, the catastrophizing that happens with this language perpetuates the feeling of being stuck and energy of lack. Using words like, I shouldn't, or why didn't I, will perpetuate shame and continue on a cycle of guilt. On the flip side, integrating the types of words that can help cultivate a more positive and empowered mental state with verbs of ability and choice, like can, choose, prefer. These positive words will emphasize agency and personal power. Using terminology that is optimistic and opportunity-oriented, such as opportunity or possibility or new beginning, open doors, frame challenges as chances for growth. For example, it is supportive to change "I messed everything up" into "I learned a lot from this experience and I'll use it to improve." Or replace "this is too hard" with "I'm facing a challenge, but I'm gathering my resources to tackle it." So think of a negative thought often have and work through rewriting it with a more positive and empowered language. So the language that we use significantly influences our thought patterns and by extension, our emotional health. Choose words that foster resiliency and positivity. Enhance your abilities to cope with adversity and shift your mindset towards one that is more conducive to healing and growth. It is important you use positive language when speaking with your clients as well. Part of this involves becoming more aware of our emotional states and bodily sensations, enhancing our somatic experience and understanding of what we experience both energetically and somatically. Language not only shapes our thoughts and emotions, but also connects us to our somatic experience, which is how we feel in our body. Understanding and articulating what we feel, both emotionally and somatically, is crucial for comprehensive healing, especially in therapy for trauma. Here, we're going to explore the critical role of descriptive language in enhancing our awareness of these experiences. Language serves as a bridge between our internal experience and our ability to understand and communicate them. For individuals recovering from trauma, being able to describe complex emotions and sensations accurately can be the key part of their healing process. This precision helps in distinguishing between past trauma responses and present moment experiences, reducing the intensity of flashbacks or traumatic memories. Language can literally support some individuals in being mindful and aware of the now. Some people as well have never been supported in using language, in voicing their body feelings or emotions, or even their cognitions in a positive way. Many were told to be silent, to shut up, to have their feelings ignored and rejected when they spoke about how they felt, what they thought, or what they wanted. Using specific descriptive language to articulate feelings can greatly aid in emotional regulation. For example, differentiating between feeling upset and frustrated or anxious and nervous can provide more clarity about what triggers these emotions and how to manage them. I always tell my clients when they say they are upset that it is a descriptive word for spilling your coffee. And when they say they are nervous, I talk about this being part of their body system, their nervous system, and to define it in terms of what it is saying to them rather than their whole system. For example, is their nervousness saying something is dangerous or that they may be rejected or judged, or are they maybe excited about something coming up? Similarly, developing a vocabulary for body sensations helps clients connect with their physical states. So terms like tightness, tingling, heat, or pressure can make these sensations more tangible and easier to address during therapeutic interventions. It can support the actual experience of them as opposed to trying to avoid them. This somatic awareness is especially important in modalities like somatic experiencing or brain spotting, where recognizing and naming physical responses to stress or trauma is a foundational healing tool. Finding solutions for negative somatic experiencing or emotions becomes much easier when we can specify what these are rather than generalize. For example, if someone says they feel bad, what does that really mean? Also, the word bad instantly pressures this individual to feel more shame or guilt for whatever is wrong with them or what they have done. Bad is the weather. It's not who we are. or what we feel or what we experience. It's negative or positive. So, we want to support our clients to develop a more detailed emotional and somatic vocabulary. We need to practice with our own vocabulary. Regularly check in with ourselves to identify and describe current emotional and physical states and speak mindfully. Teach those we work with to do the same. As with most things, writing this down and journaling can be helpful. By writing down daily emotional and somatic experiences to improve language skills related to internal states, we can reflect on what this causes us and how it supports us. As we enhance our language skills in describing our emotions and body sensations, we gain better tools for managing our overall health. This improved communication aids not only in personal understanding, but also in therapeutic settings where clarity and expression can significantly influence the healing process. The scientific and therapeutic aspects of language reinforces what we've discussed so far. Both positive and negative language impacts the brain and mental health, and we need to use conscious language choices for better well-being. Research in the field of neuroplasticity shows that the language we use can actually rewire our brains. Positive language, especially when used consistently, can strengthen areas of the brain associated with social and emotional skills, resiliency, and self-regulation. Conversely, habitual negative language can enhance neural pathways that contribute to anxiety and depression. Dr. Alex Thompson, psycholinguistic, discusses how positive language can increase the production of feel-good hormones like serotonin and dopamine, enhancing mood and reducing stress. Susan Lee, who is a licensed social worker, is a trauma specialist who emphasizes the role of language in trauma therapy, particularly how specific word choices can help clients distance themselves from traumatic memories, making them feel less emotionally charged. It brings them to the present moment. Mindfulness and daily conversations can support our becoming aware of the languages used in everyday interactions. It helps us notice if it is generally positive or negative. How does it affect your mood and the mood of those around you? Make a conscious effort to replace negative words with positive ones, even in small everyday exchanges, to support a shift. This is intentional language choice. Paying close attention to the language used in self-talk is vital for mindset shift, moving away from critical language to more compassionate and supportive dialogue. If we constantly talk about how our body is deteriorating and how we are getting old, we are going to be much more aware of aches and pains than if we perpetuated that we have energy and feel good despite our age. Awareness will go where we direct it to go. So this is in part as to why we have some 60-year-olds running marathons and some unable to get out of bed. Why not think about it as why not me rather than the negative why me? There are studies on happiness and self-talk that demonstrate that individuals who engage in positive self-talk are more likely to make beneficial health decisions. Research has shown, too, that changing just one key word in a problem-solving scenario can significantly alter the outcomes, showcasing the power of language in shaping our approach to challenges. So I want to encourage you to start noticing and modifying your own language patterns. Share your experiences with me on social media, on Insta at Manifestation Therapy, or TikTok at Manifestation_Therapy, or join my newsletter at www.manifestationtherapy.com and continue to explore how language impacts your life. Integrate the importance of language with your clients. So, thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Remember, the words you choose can change your world. Stay mindful and see you next time. Be your best potential with Manifestation Therapy.